It's the Sound Kitchen.
Mmm, yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susanna Wensby is cooking.
Bienvenue and welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 1st of February, the 32nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 333 days left in the year. As you know, World Radio Day is coming up on the 13th of February. The 13th is a Thursday. So when to have our very own Sound Kitchen World Radio Banquet? Before or after? Erwan and I took our cue from French fine dining, of course. At cha-cha restaurants here, the server will surprise you with an amuse-bouche, or mouth amusement, before you're served your meal. It's a gift from the chef, a single bite-sized hors d'oeuvre. It's meant to awaken your palate. So Erwan and I decided that our Sound Kitchen feast should serve as an amuse-bouche for your World Radio Day festivities. Be sure and be with us next Saturday for the Sound Kitchen World Radio Day celebration filled with your voices. And be sure you take a look at the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook page. There are oodles of wonderful graphics posted by your fellow Sound Kitchen listeners. There's even a World Radio Day quiz from Anand Mohan Bain, the president of the RFI Pariwar Bantu SWL Club in Chhattisgarh, India. So don't miss out.
This is the Sound Kitchen.
Sound Kitchen.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Erwan Rome is at his mixing board behind the glass window in front of us, and our co-chef Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, Big Sister.
You know what?
What?
Xavier, my husband, has never seen True Grit with John Wayne.
Oh, so how can that be?
I know. So we fixed that, right?
Yeah.
And we watched it. We watched it. And John Wayne, of course, calls Maddie. That's her name, right? Maddie.
Yeah.
Maddie. Throughout it, he calls her baby sister.
Yeah.
And Xavier looked at me and I said, yeah, you see, this is such a loving term. Baby brother, baby sister. And it all comes from John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Well, no, it doesn't come from John Wayne. It comes from the writer who wrote it. I've forgotten.
I can't remember. But anyway. There were loads and loads of Westerns on British television over Christmas. It was fantastic. Just sat in front of telly. Watching John Wayne films with my mum.
Oh, they're pretty bad. There's a new True Grit. So now that he's seen that one, we watched the Coen brothers made one.
Oh, right, yeah.
So there's a new one because I can't believe it. John Wayne won an Academy Award for Best Actor in that thing. Oh, he's so awful.
No, but that's what he said at the end of when he went up and he said, I should have put the eye patch on 40 years earlier or something like that because he did. Many great films, but True Grit was, I suppose, the countertype, you know, the archetype one.
That's what Xavier said.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I know. I did like watching that whole thing.
There was another one which we watched over a couple of days, actually, where he has to go and rescue his grandson. And okay. I think I mentioned this on an earlier Sound Kitchen, and it had John Wayne's own son in it. And it had Robert Mitchum's son in it. And, of course, those two, Robert Mitchum and John Wayne, were on El Dorado, linked up as the sheriff turned drunkard because he he lost a woman somewhere. And John Wayne comes in as this gunslinger with a moral.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course.
It's...
Of course.
It's... It was El Dorado.
Simpler times. Simpler times.
We've got to get on to other things.
Yes. Okay. How about the program? Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Baby Brother. Olya Horton's happy moment and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, because it's time for the quiz. On the 21st of December, I asked you a question about that week's International Report podcast, produced by RFI English journalist Melissa Shamam. It was really interesting. Melissa reported on a series of 22 short films produced by Gazan filmmakers. As Melissa noted, and I quote, "The films aim to share the voices of people living through the conflict in Gaza, offering a glimpse into their fears, dreams, and hopes." Entitled From Ground Zero, the 112-minute collection is presented as a feature film in two parts and has been selected to represent Palestine at the Oscars in March of 2025. The project was made possible by the Masha Rawi Fund for Gaza Filmmakers, which was created in 2023 by Palestinian filmmaker Rashid Masha Rawi. You were to listen to Melissa's 15 December International Report podcast, Gaza's Powerful War Narratives Make Their Way to the Oscars, and answer me this. What are the names of three of Masha Rawi's films, and in which years were they produced? Paul, what's the answer?
Well, to quote Melissa, Masha Rawi, who is from Gaza, is one of the first Palestinian filmmakers to have directed cinema projects in the occupied Palestinian territories. His first film, Travel Document, was released in 1986, followed by The Shelter in 1989, and Long Days in Gaza in 1991. And I might add that our Melissa Shamam scooped the New York Times, that August newspaper didn't write about the film until almost 2 weeks later. Brava, Melissa! See what you get from RFI English listeners and readers. Well, in addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question, what would your fantasy road trip be like? You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are Ali Shahzad, who's a member of the RFI Seven Stars Listening Club in District Chinio, Pakistan. Ali is also this week's bonus question winner. This is what he wrote. My fantasy road trip is a trek in the mountains of Pakistan. Scouting is my hobby, and I often go camping with my friends in the summer. A stove, cooking material, tents, vegetables, fruit, clothes, hot kewa, and samosa are very important and all we need. Congratulations, Ali, on your double win. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are RFI Listeners Club members Father Stephen Wara, who lives in the Cistercian Abbey in Bamenda, Cameroon, and Zenon Telles, the president of the Christian Marxist Leninist Maoist Association of Listening DXers in Goa, India. Oh, I almost got it in one breath. There's also Bitti Begum, a member of the Shetu RFI Listeners Club in Naugaon, Bangladesh, and RFI English listener Amara, who belongs to the International Radio Fan and Youth Club in Kanawal, Pakistan. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. Here's some news meant to shed light, literally. Nearly 600 million Africans live without access to electricity, which is higher than any other continent. But that will soon change. Well, soon, by 2030. The World Bank and the African Development Bank have a plan. Dubbed Mission 300, it's meant to connect half of those homes to power. You read about it in our article, African nations set to light up the homes of 300 million people by 2030. I want you to reread it and send in the names of four African countries that have committed to reform their electricity utility companies, push renewable energy integration, and raise targets to improve access to national electricity. The World Bank grant will only be available to countries once these reforms have been carried out. So, reread our article, African Nations Set to Light Up the Homes of 300 Million People by 2030, and send in the names of four African countries that have committed to reform their electricity utility companies, push renewable energy integration, and raise targets to improve access to national electricity. You'll find our article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
Well, it's actually quite dangerous because it's sentimental, and you know me on the sentiment side. It is, what item have you held on to as a remembrance of something? Is it something from your school days? Something from a holiday? Your first love letter? What item have you held on to as a remembrance of something? You see, I'm already starting to crack. The voice is already starting to crack.
He says he wants to be John Wayne, but... Okay, so, baby brother,
I'll just pass on to the next.
Get out your Kleenex go.
Well, the records from my dad. I was doing some clearing up yesterday, and I saw some jumpers that my mum knitted for me when I was at university. So that's going back 40-odd years. They're still in good shape because she often asks me, well, do you wear those jumpers? And I say, yes, mum, of course I do. So the jumpers from my mum, obviously records from my dad, lots of clothes from my dad, stuff my mum gave me, stuff the children have given me, stuff, there's a tie which my wife gave me many years ago, which I still have in a box, and stuff from friends. Yeah, I mean, I'll start crying, so I better go on to you, actually.
Okay, well, I have loads of sentimental stuff, too. I have things from school. Mm-hmm. I have things from holidays. And, of course, I have old love letters. But what comes to mind immediately, sitting here in a studio in a radio station, is a notebook that I kept at my first radio job over 40 years ago. I even brought it up here to RFI last week to show Erwan. It's filled with notes about music, because I was a Western classical music presenter, but also jokes about being on the air, cue sheets from colleagues' shows, and all manner of things. I had to leave a lot behind when I left the U.S., all my records, for example. But that old notebook was non-negotiable. It even came on the plane with me.
Just to make sure.
Exactly.
It was that precious.
Yeah, I do love that thing. So what about you? What item have you held on to as a remembrance of something? And remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions. So please send them in. You have until the 24th of February to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 1st of March to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, a Ms., a Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
I'm Bernie Seibin. Bonjour from Texas.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was, what would your fantasy road trip be like? Salim Akhtar Chadha's dream road trip is a water trip. This is what he wrote. I would like to travel by boat and explore the beauty of the sea and enjoy the sound of the tide. So is John Yemi Sande Touré's. He wrote, my road trip starts in Mali. It's during the September raining and flooding time. I start by road from the capital Bamako to Mopti. There I take a boat on the Niger River to Timbuktu and see amazing island villages. I also eat seafood and remember the story of Mungo Park from my primary school days. I speak new languages too, French, the local language Bambara, and Portuguese. Dipita Chakrabarti dreams of travelling to a mythical place, Shangri-La. And this is what she wrote. Shangri-La is the mystical abode of Tibetan Buddhist monks. The place is believed to be an earthly paradise nestled in the Kunlun Mountains in northwest Tibet. Since there are no proper roads or transport, I would have to travel on foot, trekking through treacherous mountain passes. I would love to see with my own eyes how people live happily there for hundreds of years beyond the normal lifespan, isolated from this bustling world of ours.
Oi, trekking through treacherous mountain passes, Dipita? Well, takes all kinds to make the world go round. We have a couple of time travelers this week, don't we, baby brother?
We certainly do. There's Malik Ala Bashaya Kokar, who wrote, I would like to travel back into the history of my country and my Punjab and take part in the events that I have only known from books and museums. In particular, life during the Indus Valley Civilization period 3,000 years ago, which is considered one of the cradles of civilization on our planet. That would get my attention. I would like to experience life as it was at the archaeological ruins at Mohenjo-Daro, which can still be seen today as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Then there's Helmut Matt, who wrote, the journey of my dreams is a journey back to my childhood and youth. It was a quiet, happy time, a time of silence and small worries, a time without a car, telephone or internet. It is a shame that it has to remain a dream, and it's a shame that people have already invented all kinds of nonsense, but still no functioning time machine.
Well, Helmut, you're an engineer. Go for it. Paul, if you could go back in time, which epic or place would you choose?
Well, I think we know about my time trips and being a roving knight.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
That's right, that's
yeah.
right.
Uh-huh. I don't think I'm going to change. Yeah,
when
yeah,
he
yeah.
thinks about books from friends. Yeah,
yeah, no, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'll go back in time and try my time out.
I can't remember what I said. That's right, we had that question.
Yeah, we've had that one.
I can't remember what I said, but
You weren't going to be a damsel in distress, I know that
No,
much.
I was not going to be a damsel in distress. When I would love to have been in Paris in the 20s. I would wear a wonderful flapper gown, smoke naughty cigarettes with a foot-long cigarette holder, and hang out with F. Scott and Zelda Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, and sing with Cole Porter at ever-so-decadent cocktail parties. Okay, who's next with their ideal road trip?
There's Father Stephen Wara, who wrote, I would like mine to be very adventurous, discovering and admiring the beauty of nature's vast landscapes, high mountains, massive tall trees, as well as gigantic modern high buildings. And why not? The poor's shanty towns. Then there's Rodrigo Henrique, who is quite clear on what he wants. He wrote, I don't like to travel alone, so good company is the most important. Driving or security are the main concerns, but also having someone with whom I can share the experience. I do not want to sleep hard, that is, camping. Everything else should be decided upon together. Once that's in place, here is what I would like. A nature trip, which could be to the mountains or islands or caves or ruins. I could like a technology, science convention, the World Cup, or a music festival. Absolutely no hunting or rodeos. An eclipse observation looks appealing too. But I like well-prepared multiple location trips with everything reserved in advance, but with some flexibility. If it's too flexible, the uncertainty does not ensure a positive experience. But if it's too tight, you're exhausted. Meeting interesting people would not be my purpose. There are many apps for that.
Okay, Rodrigo. As you said, that's a man who knows what he wants.
Alamgir Hossan chose a religious trip to Mecca and Medina in Saudi Arabia. This is what he wrote. Mecca and Medina are holy cities and pilgrimage sites for the Muslim community. The messenger of Islam, Muhammad, peace be upon him, was born here. He showed the path of light to a dark nation. It would be a privilege for me to travel there. There are many historical monuments, and the dates are supposed to be delicious. I would love to try them. Kashif Khalil's fantasy road trip would be by car, travelling with his family to the beautiful green mountains of Muri in northern Pakistan. And Jayanta Chakrabarti's is by motorbike. This is what he wrote. My fantasy road trip is something unique. I have taken inspiration from the famous German song She Moves Far Away by Alla Farben. Just as Graham Candy takes the arduous journey on a bike from Germany to India to meet his sweetheart, crossing mountains and encountering the vagaries of nature, I fantasize about travelling in the reverse direction. Yes, travel from India to Europe on my motorbike, hoping to meet my school-time pen pal Barbara Tam in Germany. I know it will be full of risks, but I would love the fun and adventure of experiencing so many cultures as I travel across different countries. Of course, it's a fantasy. We'll close with Radhakrishna Pillai, who wrote, "My fantasy road trip would be from my birthplace, Chadayamangalm, to Angkor Wat in Cambodia. My car journey will begin from the world's biggest bird sculpture, Jatayu, located at Chadayamangalam, and will end at the world-famous archaeological site in Angkor Wat. The main aim of my road trip is to explore heritage sites in India, Nepal, Bhutan, Myanmar, Thailand, Vietnam, and Cambodia." And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is, what item have you held on to as a remembrance of something? Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at the Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
And I have another bonus question for you. How many times did it take before Paul could say Chadayamangalam? When I wrote that, Radhakrishna, I was giggling, thinking about Paul.
I'll come and visit. I'll come and visit and get it right. That's the only way. My apologies.
Okay, thanks to everyone for participating, and a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen.
Special thanks today.
Especially with those words.
It's a pleasure.
That sounds delicious.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Time to get happy with Ms. Olya Horton.
Just take a pinch of inspiration, a bunch of good vibes, a drop of creativity, and sprinkle it with sunshine. And there you have the perfect recipe for a happy moment. Hello, Sound Kitchen listeners. Olya Horton from the RFI English team. I hope you are well. This month's happy moment is about art. In particular, I want to talk about an artwork I purchased from a friend of mine who is a photographer. I say art because although the work in question is based on a photograph, it has been carefully reworked using digital techniques to resemble a painting. My friend Caroline has spent more than a year gathering material from her travels to form a series called Travel Through Legends. Each finished design comes from a photograph taken in a different city or at a landmark and has its own story attached to it. The colourful collection is inspired from countries like South Africa, Laos, China, and cities like Copenhagen, Berlin, and of course Paris. Carolyn also finds inspiration in other themes like music and robots or mythical creatures. The photo I chose to take home is inspired by the hilly landscape of Lisbon, the capital of Portugal. Legend has it that the hills were created by Calypso, a nymph who fell in love with Ulysses during his long voyage, as recounted in Homer's epic Greek poem, The Odyssey. When Ulysses decides to leave Calypso and return home, in her rage, she sets off an earthquake which forms the iconic seven hills of the city, one for each year she had spent with Ulysses. To represent this, the artwork is made up of fine wavy lines in different shades of green, with layers of black, grey, white, and even some blue. Each time you look at the picture, something else jumps out at you. It's like a puzzle. You get lost in it and become a little hypnotized. Naturally, your eye tries to identify what's in the picture to distinguish what the original photo was. But then the next time you look, you see something different. Carolyn told me that it's like a game. With each work, she gives clues, but the viewer is encouraged to interpret it however they wish. Why does this make me happy? Well, firstly, I love looking at this picture. I find it pleasing to the eye and intriguing. And it also evokes a happy travel memory for me. I visited Lisbon many years ago, and I remember the steep hills and climbing up to the top to get a good view. Finally, I'm happy to support a friend who is experimenting with new techniques. I can't wait to see what she comes up with next. What about you? Do you have a happy moment to share with fellow Sound Kitchen listeners? Don't be shy. You can send them to the Sound Kitchen or get in touch through Facebook. You can leave a message on the Sound Kitchen answering machine, or you can go ahead and record your happy moment and send it to us in an email. All the addresses and phone numbers you need can be found on the Sound Kitchen page of our website, rfienglish.com. When you record, just make sure you hide under a blanket. It makes for better sound quality. That's all from me this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Olya Horton. Enjoy your weekend. Bye for now.
Thank you, Olya. You can hear Olya's happy moment on the first Saturday of every month. Before we go, a reminder, we'll celebrate World Radio Day together next Saturday, the 8th of February, so be sure you're with us. Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in the Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to our sound engineer, Erwan Rome, for his input and his expertise in putting the show together, and thanks to you for listening. Be sure and tune in next week, the 8th of February, for the answer to the question about French ex-president Nicolas Sarkozy and his court trials. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. This week, Erwan chose music from the jazz god, American composer and pianist Thelonious Monk. How to start about Monk? He's so huge. Okay. He's the second most recorded jazz composer after Duke Ellington. He made numerous contributions to the standard jazz repertoire, so even if you don't recognize his name, I guarantee you, you've heard his compositions. Born in 1917, Monk's early career was pretty rocky. Although highly regarded by his peers and some critics, his records remained poor sellers and his music was regarded as too difficult for more mainstream acceptance. His compositions and improvisations feature dissonances and angular melodic twists. Erwan chose for us today Monk's 1968 Green Chimneys, often referred to as his last great jazz composition. After battling a long illness, Monk died in 1982. So here it is, Green Chimneys by Thelonious Monk, performed by Monk and the Thelonious Monk Quartet. Enjoy, and thanks again, Erwan, for another musical journey. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to you all next week.